Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Every Thursday, the Gulf Breeze News comes out, and you can purchase it. It is a paper well worth reading because it has all kinds of local information for folks who live in and near Gulf Breeze. Melanie Cormody is on the line with us today. Lisa Newell is out. Melanie, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You do such good work. Okay, you got a story about a veteran from World War II who's getting up there in years, as would be the expectation for somebody who's a World War II veteran, right?
Yeah. So our head story this week is a World War II veteran who recently celebrated his 99th birthday. His name is Arthur Lynch. He lives in Tiger Point, and I got to sit down with him, and he told me stories about World War II. He joined in 1943, the Army Infantry, and he was present for a lot of really historical moments. He was present for the liberation of Dachau, the World Park Pocket, and he also...
What was the second one? I heard Dachau. What was the second one?
The R-U-H-R Pocket, World War Pocket. My
okay.
Southern accent won't let me say it correctly. But... But he is just present for a lot of really interesting things. He had a lot of great stories. He said that his last day was the day that the first atom bomb was dropped in Japan. He said that they he was on the plane going to Japan to invade Japan. They had a layover in California. And whenever they dropped, they heard that the first atom bomb went down. He said, for all intents and purposes, it was over with. So
wow.
It was just really interesting to sit with him and hear his stories.
It's hard for me to wrap my brain around. I mean, I know American soldiers would have experienced all the things that he experienced. It's an entirely different thing to think about, you know, because we think about the victims of the Holocaust. We think about the camps and what life was like there. But I have often been just... fascinated, amazed to think about what life would have been like or the experience have been like for an American soldier to liberate one of those camps. The horror, the just discovering this thing and, you know, being involved in that and seeing maybe those who survived and, of course, all the evidence of those. And like you say, living through the atom bomb. What an amazing story.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
And let me add to that, too. And I'm just going to add to that real quick, too, that, you know, he says, they were 18 years old when they saw all of this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for all intents and purposes, they were, you know, young adults or just coming out of childhood. So, yeah, it's crazy to think that was their life back then.
Right. And it's not something, obviously, you know, this is not like you learned about this in school, right? Okay, so this is a historical, but you learned about it. Had you been 18, you would have already known what they had no idea what to expect. And suddenly this thing, you know, just... The greatest atrocity in human history, and they just suddenly are thrust into seeing this with their own eyes. It's amazing. You've also got a story about the capital improvement fees for Stewart.
Yeah, so on Monday at the City Hall, the Gulf Breeze City Council is going to have a public meeting to discuss the proposed $17 Stewart capital improvement fee. It's a monthly flat fee. It's going to help cover the cost of the wastewater treatment plant extension. The wastewater treatment plant is located in Tiger Point. And the capital improvement fee, it's going to apply to about 9,900 sewer customers in the area.
Okay.
So this is their chance to find out what this is all – well, it's not their only chance, but this is kind of one of their last chances to find out what this is all about and to hear – for the city council to hear what the public thinks about it.
I love knowing what's going to be coming up at the meeting, because, of course, we'll talk with Sam Abel afterwards, but I love hearing the heads up about, you know, if you're interested in this, go to find out. And then a story about a runaway school bus. What is this?
Yeah, so this happened last Friday around 2:30 p.m. A Santa Rosa County District school bus driver had an unexpected seizure behind the wheel, causing the bus to drift into oncoming traffic. Now, there weren't any children on the school bus. Nobody was hurt. The driver was on her way to her first school for her first route. And then the driver, who had never had a seizure before, didn't know it was going to happen. She was at a red light near the Winn-Dixie area down the highway a little bit.
Okay.
And slumped behind the wheel. And
wow.
The bus started drifting across the median and into other two lanes of oncoming traffic. Now, a man in a truck saw the bus moving. He didn't see a driver. So he pulled his truck over into the path that the bus was headed, and he jumped out of his truck, ran into the back of the bus, and jumped in, running down the aisle, and stopped the bus before it hit anything.
What?
So this, yeah.
What?
So this man, he's unnamed right now, but he is, I've heard, going to be honored at an upcoming school board meeting. So he saved the day.
Holy
and,
smokes, yeah.
The school bus driver got, yeah. And the school bus driver got the medical attention that he or she needed, so that's being addressed as well. But I mean, no students were on the bus, and nobody was hurt. So that's
okay. So
amazing.
What I can't figure out is how did we not hear about this before elsewhere? I mean, that's an unbelievable story. Thank God she's okay. You know.
Yeah. She's. I mean, you know, you have to find. You know, she has more medical, you know, procedures to go through to find out what happened with the seizure, but. It just, you know, it happened at a place and a time that, you know, someone was available to help and did. So.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure we'll be putting his picture on the front page.
Right. And when you first started telling me, I'm thinking, oh, he put his truck in the way of the bus. He tried to, you know,
yeah.
I know something. It didn't occur to me that, you know, at the speed the bus was probably going, that he was able to get out, run up, jump in. It's like some movie. I mean, it's crazy, but that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank God no kids were involved. Thank God nobody wound up really getting hurt from it. But, okay, I'm reminded of the Seinfeld comedy. You're Batman. I mean, you know, you kept making the stops. Well, they kept ringing the bell. Anyway, wow, great story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Crazy. Melanie Cormody, she is with the Gulf Breeze News. The paper comes out every Thursday and is great coverage, as you hear, of our local community. Melanie, thanks for the time.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in the breeze.
Yes, ma'am. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. Not even any delays. I can't believe I just said that. As 98 is looking good, Highway 99.
Why you got to jinx it, bro?
I know. I'm sorry. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
What would you do?
Run? Oh, wait.
You see a bus crossing the median. No driver. No
yeah.
kids, I guess you can probably see that. If you can see there's no driver, you can maybe see there's
and
no
hopefully
kids.
It was going really slow for him to run.
Must have been going fairly slow, right, for him to catch up to it on foot, right? It's not going that fast and get back
door.
In, you know, whatever. What would you have done?
I would if it was going slow enough, I would, you know.
Call somebody? Try to, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess if it's going pretty slow, that's
then
one
you
thing.
Have enough yeah. time to react and get in, yeah.
Okay, all right. Wow, still amazing. Hey, if you are thinking about buying that next vehicle or, you know, wanting to begin the process, or and I've been saying this recently because I think a lot of times, in fact, I think almost all the time, you tend to think of the car selling place, the dealership, whether it's used or new, you think of them as like the adversary, you know, like they're out to get you. And they're trying to sell you a car you don't need, you know, for a price that's too high. And your job is to not get taken advantage of. And it's a fight, you know, like that's how we think sometimes about, you know, buying things. Maybe take a little different approach with Frontier. I mean, do what you do, okay? But they're a great place. You know, good, reliable dealership. It's been around for more than 25 years, and they're going to be around for a long time because their whole model is treat people well and be good neighbors. But maybe think of them as an ally, as an advisor, as, you know, go to them and ask questions like, what kind of cars do you recommend? What holds its value well? You know, is Toyota, is Honda, is Suzuki, is Ford, is Chevy, is GM? Are they still good? Not good. Were they problematic during COVID? Not. What features do people like or not? Like, they know because they've experienced, you know, hundreds, even thousands of cars, and you've experienced the couple or few that you've owned, right? So, or ridden in. So maybe just think of them as somebody you can ask questions of. You know, hey, what should I be buying? What do you think is going to fit my needs and budget well? Again, think of them as an advisor rather than an adversary. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Ella. With Cannell and Company Realty. Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This incident is going down on your permanent record, a record that's going to follow you throughout your entire life.
So, you ever wonder what the decision-making process is by the people who do emergency management, storm alerts, you know, like the counties, right? Obviously, locally, and of course, the state, but they have to decide, you know, when do they escalate? When do they activate the emergency operations centers? We're getting ready to come into hurricane season, not that far off in the future, you know, but we're not there yet. Anyway, what's the decision-making process? Well, back on March 15th, remember we had this really vicious storm that we missed? Kind of like went around us, okay? And, you know, I know a lot of people's reaction is, there they go again, just hyping everything up and scaring us. Well, Tom Lloyd is the emergency manager for Santa Rosa County, and he actually talked about this at the Board of County Commissioners meeting and explained kind of what was going on leading up to that day.
As we progressed through the week, the forecast really solidified. As you talk with the National Weather Service, when they're 48 hours out, they are on point. So many things can change once they get to about 48 hours out there. Their confidence is very high as to the impacts that they will see in their forecast area, which again is our area of responsibility. That's why on Friday we leaned forward with a Facebook Live. I tend to not do those simply because I don't want to callous the public to our messaging. It's one thing if we do a public post, just a posting. But if I'm going to get on and I'm going to speak to an issue or a potential impact to our area, I want to make sure that there is, it shows a level of escalation. So, and that seems to have worked as we've moved through different events.
Okay, so when you think about the lead up, they are thinking about not giving out fake warnings, escalating too quickly, but that storm system looked like it was really going to be bad. And so as you heard him say, instead of just doing a Facebook post about it, they did a Facebook Live. But they're very judicious about when they won't, because he realizes that that's going to, you know, create a certain level of anticipation, anxiety for people, and they don't want to over worry you when it may not be a big thing. And that's always a challenge, is how to describe potential weather events, just like potential storms, potential hurricanes, anything like that. You know, if everything's always a 10, then nobody ever listens to the, you know, the emergency managers who cried wolf, right? You know, so you always have to be caught. And I know I try really hard to be measured about the way I describe these things, because it's kind of funny. When I first moved here and we did storm reporting a couple of times, and I'm like, well, that turned out to be nothing. And I'm like, I'm just learning now how to be a Floridian. But as a result of that, realizing that you know, trying to be measured about, like, we don't know, or it's not so bad, or don't be too worried yet, but be prepared. You know, like, that's important to me, too. So I appreciate Tom taking time to explain it. And you say, well, what happened on that day? This is actually, to me, this was really useful.
And then, ultimately, this is the storm reports. This is how Saturday unfolded. So anyone that was here, it was hot and gross and humid and just nasty outside. Particularly, we just say there's a lot of energy in the air. You can see where we had major wind events all around us, tornado damage or tornado outbreak around us. And at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the line split and went around us, and everybody kind of relaxed. And they said, hey, what's going to happen here? Even I did the same thing, and I reached out to National Weather Service and said, hey, this is where we're at. Can we send people home? Can we show some messaging that's saying the storms are out of our area? Where exactly are we at? The head of the National Weather Service in Mobile, I'll quote it, says, you absolutely need to stay vigilant. The atmosphere is too volatile not to. And that's all I needed to hear. I said, understood. We're going to stay activated, and we stayed activated till almost midnight that night.
Now, John, I was on vacation, but you were very involved in this, too. You're at the EOC in Santa Rosa County, right? So you've seen Tom work with him, talk with him, right?
I did, yeah. It's amazing to see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But now I get a little more behind the scenes that I didn't see.
And you heard him. They don't want to waste resources or attention.
Right, exactly.
They were like, all right, we're done. Let's call it quits and go home. And he called Mobile, and Mobile said, no. This is really bad. Count your blessings if it doesn't happen, but you need to stay there and be prepared. Because we saw the horrible damage that went on all over, particularly the north of us. I mean, what is it, like 40 people got killed, 39, something like that. Like, this is really bad. And I know when it doesn't happen in your neighborhood, you tend to think, well, you know, waste of my time, I wanted you to hear it from him because I'm sure Travis Tompkins in Escambia County doing the same exact thing. We have really good emergency managers in our two-county area and in the state in general. And so I know it's very easy to kind of poo-poo it and, you know, think that they're always, you know, the boy who cried wolf or Chicken Little or whatever. Trust me, they're not. Trust me, they are very well aware of the downside of getting you scared too often when it doesn't pan out. But their greatest fear is not getting you prepared and then something horrible happens. And they're always guarding against that. John Pickens has got Traffic on the Five. So I appreciate the work that Tom and Travis do, very much so. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
And I just want to give a plug for both stations, News Radio and Cat Country. I was live all day Saturday here at News Radio and on Cat Country and live at the EOC. So when there's storm coverage, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to throw that in there. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any accidents to report to you right now. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. One of the things I think even the most severe critics of the Trump administration would have to admit is that they are doing so many things in public, as in they are aggressively sending out information. I have never seen a presidency operate this way. Now, that's true in a lot of different ways, okay? But I've never seen a presidency operate in terms of communication this way. My inbox, I get 5 to 10 probably a day emails from the White House. And it's the executive order that was just signed with all of the information. It's the fact sheet with all the information. For a while there, they were doing a fake news rebutting kind of thing. I haven't seen one of those in a little while. Presidential schedule, remarks by J.D. Vance at some speech he gives somewhere. Like, they are pushing, and in the beginning when it was like 40 EOs a day, they were pushing out tons and tons of information. I love it. I actually, in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, this is so much to wade through. But I have learned to really appreciate it because it means I don't have to go try to find the information on the whitehouse.gov site, which it's all there. If you ever go there, it's all there in the press room. But I really appreciate that. And nevertheless, there are still things, and it's hard to keep track. There's so much going on. But one that I missed that I hadn't heard reported anywhere else, so you know maybe you had heard about it, I had not. Defense One had a good report on an executive order that came out last week where he is going to basically declare a national emergency, and as a result of this national emergency has invoked the end of collective bargaining with 2/3 of the federal government union workers. Department of State, Department of Defense, Department of Veterans Affairs, Justice, Energy, portions of Homeland Security, Treasury, Health and Human Services, Interior, Agriculture, International Trade Administration, EPA, AID, USAID, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, National Science Foundation, NSF, you sometimes see the stamp, International Trade Commission, Federal Communications Commission, FCC, and the GSA, the General Services Administration. All of them are at the moment no longer subject to federal labor law, and even chief information officers across the government. About two-thirds of all federal workers and three-quarters of feds represented by unions. So, interesting. Again, like many things I have to say, we'll see how this all shakes out. I imagine there are, the story's from about a week ago, so there might be litigation since that I haven't seen, but that's, wow. So we'll see. As a cost-cutting measure, as a way of increasing performance, because I've, you know, like a labor union is attempts to be a monopoly on labor, right? And monopolies always do what? Reduce quality, increase price, right? So monopolies for anybody are a problem, whether it's sellers or sellers of labor or anything else. But like I say, interesting. We'll see how this shakes out.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. The Dow opens down around 1,200 points with investors worried about President Trump's new worldwide tariffs on imports and a trade war. Vice President J.D. Vance on potentially higher prices.
We know people are struggling. We're fighting as quickly as we can to fix what was left to us, but it's not going to happen immediately.
In the long term, we're dead. Short term matters. And the truth is, nobody knows what the impact of these tariffs are going to be.
Louisiana Senate Republican John Kennedy also on Fox. Some countries and the European Union are discussing retaliatory measures. Tornadoes hit parts of the South and Midwest with more in the forecast.
We watched it come through, but we was hoping it missed our house. But as soon as we drove up, we realized we have nothing left.
She's in Harrisburg, Arkansas. At least three storm deaths are reported now. Two in Tennessee, that is. One in Missouri. And there's major flooding in the forecast in Tennessee. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72 degrees, cloudy skies across the area. Well, two people are dead after an exchange of gunfire at a dollar store in Walton County Wednesday. It happened when Deputy William May was called to the store to remove a trespasser.
Deputy May responded to the Goodwill store, made contact with the suspect. There was a brief discussion, approximately 10 to 15 seconds, in which the suspect exited the store with Deputy May walking out behind him. Within 10 seconds of the suspect walking out of the store with Deputy May behind him, that suspect drew a firearm and fired multiple rounds, striking Deputy Will May.
That's Walton County Sheriff Mike Adkinson. He says May did return fire. He shot the suspect, who died at the scene. The deputy was wearing a bulletproof vest at the time, but Adkinson says the fatal shot went under it. Adkinson says they were unable to life flight May to the hospital. He was taken by ambulance. He died there several hours later. Deputy May leaves behind a wife and two children. A Milton man's been accused of sex crimes involving a young girl in the Andalusia area. 55-year-old Breton Etroy Brown was charged with traveling to meet a child for an unlawful sex act. An investigation began when that girl told friends that she'd been coerced into inappropriate activities with Brown as she was on spring break here in our area. The girl's mother gave her phone to law enforcement, who used the phone and her Facebook account to set up a meeting between the girl and Brown. Law enforcement officers arrested Brown at the Sunset Inn in Andalusia. He's being held on $150,000 bond at the Covington County Jail. Well, the state being sued over a new immigration law. Some immigrants' rights groups filed suit yesterday in federal court in Miami over SB4C. That law makes it illegal for undocumented immigrants to enter or re-enter the state. The plaintiffs say it's unconstitutional. There's plans in the works for a bear hunt later this year. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission revealing those plans yesterday in a video conference. The hunt would take place December from the 6th through the 28th. The number of bears killed would be limited to 187. The FWC is collecting public feedback. The final vote won't happen until August. They do have another video conference planned for today. The FWC says bear hunts are an important tool
for population management. The last bear hunt took place more than a decade ago. Florida's newest congressmen are now on the job. District 1's Jimmy Patronis, District 6's Randy Fine. They were both in Washington, D.C. yesterday to be sworn in. Both add to the Republican Party's majority in the House. Patronis addressed his colleagues and said he's ready to get the fiscal house back in order. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Not seeing any accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even 98 is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Dry weather lasts into our Thursday. This morning, we're starting out with some areas of fog with mostly cloudy skies and temperatures in the lower 70s. Heading into the afternoon, warming up into this middle and upper 70s with mostly cloudy skies sticking around. And those winds will be pretty breezy coming out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. And right now, we've got 72 across the area, cloudy skies in Pensacola. And your money now this morning. Our markets are down quite a bit. The Dow down 1,100 points at 41.80.37. S&P down 182 points at 54.88. The NASDAQ down 762 points at 16.839. 10-year bond rate is down a bit, 4.042%. Gold prices down 81.93,084.30. Silver down 272 today at 31.93. And Bitcoin down over $4,100 at 82,287. The rest of the crypto market is following suit and is down as well today. Looking at our financial headlines, the number of Americans filing first-time requests for unemployment benefits is down more than expected last week. The Labor Department reports 219,000 initial claims for the week ending March 29th. That's 6,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. The Trump administration's new tariffs are sending shockwaves around the globe. Australia's prime minister says the move doesn't make any sense.
The administration's tariffs have no basis in logic. This is not the act of a friend.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, Trump called them reciprocal tariffs. And he had an event yesterday called Liberation Day for the U.S. He's accusing trading partners of having taken advantage of American industries for decades. All countries have an immediate 10% baseline tariff on imported goods. Many are being hit with larger tariffs on top of that. The UFC signing a new multi-million dollar partnership deal with Meta. The MMA company wants to restructure their fan experience using AI-based Meta platforms. 8:37, our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Hall's Hardware in Milton on News Radio 92.3.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable?
Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast.
From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered.
Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So my son bought a new car. We went to visit my son in South Carolina, where he has now left the area. It's a very sad thing. I haven't talked about that in the air. We'll talk about that some other time. But my son went to UWF, got a degree, got a job, is now living in Greenville, South Carolina, and he bought one of his dream cars, which was a 1992 Mazda Miata. Zoom, zoom. And, you know, and it's actually a car my wife owned, not the same one, but she had a 90 back in the day, a red one, and he got a white one, and he loves it. And he let me drive it, and I may have had a little bit of fun. That was from the video of him. He took a video of me driving it, you know. And yes, I know it's not the best shifting ever. You know,
Brandy shifting, not double clutching like you should.
I know, fine. I know, but you know, let it get to 4,500, and you'll be good. Anyway,
are you going to post the video?
It's already on my Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm just behind the times.
Yeah, yeah. But my question is. Because it's a stick, obviously, because why would you not buy one? That's the question. Stick, automatic, or, and I guess, you know, automatic with paddle shifters, or do they even, I mean, a lot of cars don't even, you know, it's paddle shifting, which is on the steering wheel, but the stick is like almost a rarity these days to find one where they actually have a stick. 437-1620, 437-1620, your preference in car transmissions, John?
Automatic with paddle shifters.
Okay, so you can take over the car when you want to.
When I need it.
But, okay, so I've never used the paddle shifters, but it seems like cheating.
No.
Manual.
No.
It's, you can really still have fun with it.
Oh, yes.
But you can't, like, put in the clutch, super rev it, chirp your tires, that kind of stuff, right? Like, you can't do the same kinds of fun thing. It's not.
You can.
Okay.
You can take off the traction control.
Okay.
Yeah, all the right. Challenger will chirp its tires if you take off the traction control.
But to me, the fun of a stick is that it's complex and interesting and difficult and keeps your brain engaged a little bit. Like, you can be in control of the car.
Yeah, but if you have ADD, you what gear am I in again? Trust me, I had a stick.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Meg, standard transmission, automatic with paddle shifters, with what's your
automatic is what I use now, of course. Back in the day, I did have the shift,
okay,
the manual, and I liked it.
Was it a column shift or a floor shifter, like on the console next to you?
What console next to you where you had to?
Yeah,
but you also had to.
Have you ever driven one that's like an old truck where it's on the column on the steering wheel?
Oh, so cool to drive.
Which I had the clutch on
really?
The floor.
Yeah, I hated them. I've driven it like one time. I hated it.
With the clutch on the floor, where you have to push the clutch.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, sometimes, most times, the clutch is just like on your armrest, mm-hmm. like right in front of your hand on the arm. This is like actually, I don't know how to describe it, John. You know how you on a truck the old style where you move the giant bar around to shift gears.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have the gear shifter is in that position.
Right.
So it's a manual transmission with the column steering or column shifting, right? So very hard to get your brain around. 4-3-7 So you like automatic.
I like automatic, but it sure was fun to drive an MG back.
See? Yes, of course the Miata's patterned off the MG even to sound like an MG, but I'm the same way. I miss having a stick. I loved driving a stick. I had a Hyundai Scoop for a while and my first Accord was a stick and I love driving cuz I'm in control. Like all of these modern things, you know, the lane keep, the tell me I'm a bad driver, you're about to hit somebody, speed, all that stuff, I hate it. I hate all that. I want to be in control of the car. I like being able to tell the car what to do. I don't even like it when it locks the doors when I start driving. I want to drive the car. So I loved having a stick. But at some point, my volleyball knees said, sir.
Oh, no.
Sir, you've taken martial arts and you played volleyball. You can no longer have a stick shift. This is not good for your body. So we went to the automatic. And I have gotten used to it. But when I was driving his, I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like I remembered.
Isn't it funny, though, how you can remember? Because I was in last year, I had the opportunity to drive a car with a stick. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I'm going to. And it came right back.
Oh, yeah. You
never forget it.
You might be just a teeny bit rusty on things like if you're on a hill and somebody's behind you and you're worried you're going to get in gear. Or you might try to kill it. You know, just all the things. But. Yeah, no, I remembered instantly. This is all the things you do. 437-1620, 437-1620. What kind of transmission do you like best on a car? What is the best on a car?
The truck was called Three on a Tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. That's helpful. Oh, I'll tell you one other thing. Some cars now have it where it's a button you push on your right hand.
Or turn a dial.
And like we've got a Prius that we acquired from a relative, and it's like... I can't even describe. If you've not seen it, I can't describe it in a way that would make sense to you. It's the weirdest transmission interface ever. That's all like reverse is up and drive is down. It's completely counterintuitive. It's a great car other than that. Anyway, 437-1620. Let's see. Stick shift if it's bucket seats. Automatic if it's bench seats. Otherwise, you can't hug your girlfriend.
Oh.
You got to think logistics now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point because you don't want... Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Porsche's paddle shifters, PDK shifts way faster than you can. But if you're looking for driving experience, you got to go with the manual. See, I'm the same. I rationally know that like your continuously variable transmission is going to do it faster. I get that. Even with the paddle shifters, it's going to do it faster. But faster isn't always the best. Sometimes it's the fun of the doing it, right? It's the, you know, I don't know, mastery of a difficult skill or something like that. Let's see. Somebody here says manual all day. I own two Honda, a CRX, and an Element. Oh, good. Yeah. I actually learned how to drive a stick on a CRX. And by the way, if you ever want to learn to drive a stick, Mazdas and Hondas. The Miata is the easiest car to drive. You can't kill. Like, you have to basically... let out the clutch, get out of the car, walk around, and the car will stall eventually. You know, like this very, very easy car to learn to drive on. 4-3. Oh, John, do you do traffic yet?
No.
Okay, we'll do it.
Okay, yes. So we're dealing with no accidents right now. We're talking about cars and it didn't.
Well, and I get to talking fast. You know, I get all revved up.
I-10, I-1, 10 are flowing smoothly, senor.
If only I had a stick shift.
With your traffic on the fives.
Very good. All right, back to the text, 437-1620. I prefer stick when driving my fun car, automatic for practical car. Oh, I will say there is one situation where you never, ever want a stick. Stop and go traffic.
Oh, no.
That's not fun.
Oh, no. It's like they're punishing you for buying the fun car.
Well, they are. Yes.
It's the worst. Three on the tree. Oh, thank you for that. Three on the tree, several people. I've only driven an automatic. My daddy and my husband, God rest their souls, both tried to teach me how to drive a stick. I could probably get someone at the hospital to the hospital with a stick, but they would probably end up with whiplash. And that's kind of the joke online people sometimes post is if you want to prevent your car from being stolen by a Gen Z or just buy a stick.
Yeah.
Never figure it out.
Where's the drive?
I remember my grandpa had the column shift on his old Chevy truck back in the 1960s. I learned how to drive in a 53 Chevy with a stick on the steering wheel on the way to church. Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. 53
Chevy. I love it, man. I love it. I had an 82 Mazda RX, best driving car I've ever been in. So much fun. I prefer driving a stick. I think the thing about a stick is it's like if you've ever had it and had a fun car, it's like you'll never remember it unfondly.
That's
true. And your body may be telling you you cannot do that, but you still wish, you know, secretly, I wish I could go back to the old glory days or whatever. I loved a stick when I was 17, but driving daily to work through New Jersey traffic made me hate it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Ooh, terrible traffic. Stick shift, the battery ever died, all you had to do was, you know, roll and pop the clutch. Oh, that's a great point. You can't push start an automatic. Right?
True.
Okay, honestly, did you ever push start your stick, ever?
Oh, yeah.
And?
No.
You don't know what we're talking about?
Mm-mm.
Oh, if you're...
Back in high school, buddy.
Yeah, you're in gear. Hey, what do you do? You push it with
pop
it.
The clutch.
You're in gear, clutch in. They push it. You pop the clutch, and it'll start. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God, it's been a long time.
We're in flashbacks.
Situations. You just can't do that in an automatic. I've had four manuals my younger days, but now that I'm 47, I hadn't considered what you just said about the knees. I played sports and am prior military. Oh man, it's so true though. It was my left knee, and you know the clutch knee, and I'm like, oh. My wife traded her 21 Audi Q5 for a 24 Audi Q3. Q5 had the paddle shifters. I personally like that one better. My wife would disagree. Love my manual RAV4. If you can't change gears, it will be extra hard to learn to drive a motorcycle. Oh, that's a good point. But
this is
me just asking out of ignorance. Do they make automatic motorcycles? They do. That's so sad.
I know.
So sad. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Fair enough. My wife didn't like my stick shift because she couldn't hold my hand. Oh, that's true, though. And it's hard to other things like, I've got it. I just solved a world problem. You ready?
Oh,
okay.
No.
You know how we get people to stop driving and texting?
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of automatics.
Well, there you go.
Problem solved.
Wow.
Because you can't have your hands on the phone mm-hmm. and operate a stick shift. Like, you just can't, right?
They'll find ways to do it. Trust me, they will find ways to do it.
Maybe. No, okay. Anybody under the age of 25 can only drive a manual transmission. And then they'll get in the habit of driving and not being on their phone, and then they'll have a habit form for life. I mean, I'm not actually supposing this,
they'll
but...
They'll attach their phone to their...
Yeah, there's going to be a way.
But at least it's hand-free.
Their visor, you'll be...
I'm semi-legitimately mm-hmm. saying that maybe you ought to force your kids to have a stick so that they don't talk on their phone or text. I mean, I don't know. It seems like that's actually not a terrible idea. Let's see. Somebody here says, I had an 83 Mazda GLC from 86 to 98. 45 miles to the gallon. Wow. Mm. Learned on my mom's 55 ranch wagon, three in the tree, and a splitter rear end. I don't know what that means. Split a rear end? I'm not sure. Inclines are a problem. That's for sure. When I was young and poor, I drove around with an old battery and always strategically parked on the downhill.
Oh.
Makes sense, right? Because
yeah,
you can always get away. My son just bought a 6-speed without knowing how to drive it. Had to drive it home for him to show him how to drive. Actually, my son bought the Miata. He'd never driven a stick before and had to have help. Like, we thought we were going to have to teach it to him, but it was so easy. He picked it up right away. But
One thing you haven't mentioned that's so cool about a stick is the idea of being a race car driver.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it reminds me of Paul Newman.
Yeah.
The race car. You always get that feeling like, okay, I'm in the car now, and there's something about that element. I don't know if that's a guy thing or what, but it always makes me, that's what it reminds
me
of.
So much more fun. It's so more, much more like you're in a racing game.
Yeah, it's Paul Newman, Tom Cruise. I mean, that whole, like, it's a macho thing.
Absolutely. It's a skill mastery. It's a feel thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a you don't get bored thing. You don't
True.
Get bored driving
You
got to
pay attention.
Yeah. So in an automatic, I'm like, I'm going to fall asleep here because you don't need me. You got lane assist and all that kind of stuff going on. You just, what do you need me for anymore? All right, that's our frivolous topic for the day. If you are thinking about getting a home, driving back and forth to your home in a new car. No, if you're thinking about getting a new home or selling a home or buying a vacation rental or a regular rental or a beach house or whatever, call Christina Leavenworth and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty and ask questions. And here's kind of the way I've been thinking about this lately is a lot of times we think of professional services folks like a realtor as somebody you buy after you've made a decision and they're there to help you implement the decision. I recommend you call her like one or two steps before that. Instead of deciding whether it's time to sell your home, why not ask questions so that decision can be informed by expert advice? you know, before you get all wrapped around the axle about figuring out whether it's time to buy a vacation rental and make that decision, then go look for, why not call her and say, hey, how are vacation rentals performing these days? Because, for example, if interest rates are still fairly low, that means people who have good interest rates on their home that they would otherwise sell to you don't feel the value in selling it. That means it's harder to buy. That means you have to pay more, and you know, or you're going to have to pay more for the rate. And then maybe it's not as easy to market those houses in today's slightly declining rent. Like, factoring all that stuff into whether it makes sense to invest in a rental home is the kind of stuff she can help you figure out before you decide. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Let's get traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
He who is valiant and pure of spirit may find the Holy Grail in the castle of...
I love that I have gotten the news radio choir online here in the control room.
Oh, especially with that song.
I love that song.
And not just the choir, but with the dance moves. They're like Danny Terrio or, you know, Staying Alive. We're seeing the hand jab. I mean, it's great. It's if only there were video. And,
no.
And let me confess that for the first time, perhaps in a long time, I was not participating. I was thinking about the segment. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I was doing my job. So anyway, 8:50.
Oh.
Just kidding. No, you know, I'm going to ruin the moment in a good way, I hope. That reaction is why I play the clips I play and the music that I play, because I know what makes me dance or makes me enjoy or makes me chuckle or whatever. And, you know, I know it's a little bit unorthodox for a talk show sometimes, but you're on your way to work. I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy a thing. I want you to remember a thing. I want you to, you know, I want you to like life a little bit more. Like, that's a goal for me with the show. We deal with so many serious, important things. Some of them are depressing, and, you know, it's okay to enjoy a little bit of music, you know? So, plus, lifelong fantasy to be a DJ.
Unless it's country.
Yeah, we don't need your kind. I have to scold John every time he tries to play a country song.
Okay.
This is, I thought, an interesting note on the subject of emergency management and thinking about things. You know, the airport shut down during that same storm, maybe on the 15th, but it shut down recently. And the mayor actually talked about this week.
I don't know what stormwater systems are built to take 5 inches of rain.
Oh, sorry. This was this last weekend when the airport shut down.
It was rain in less than 2 hours. But when you have that type of weather event, certainly there's going to be standing water. As far as the airport goes, that meant flooding on the runways, and it took about an hour and a half for the waters to subside. and allow the airport crews to remove the debris. So we were stuck for 90 minutes just waiting on being safe enough to go out and clear debris. So that weather, of course, hampered traffic that was already in flight. And then, of course, lightning was a factor. Taxiway lightways were struck, which in turn degraded the taxiway lighting system. So obviously, as you guys know, it takes a lot to shut down an airport. And that's what we were faced with Sunday into Monday. So we had approximately 50 flights delayed or canceled Sunday afternoon and into Monday. So that's kind of the lay of the land of where what was happening out at the airport.
Yeah, a little bit of follow-up there. And I thought it was interesting to hear that, you know, rain on the runway or, you know, standing water on the runway. And as he said, there's really nothing designed to handle that intense of a rainfall that suddenly. So, just, you know, I always like to get an explanation, even if it's after the fact.